Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Amen. Let's pray again briefly. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it is true, that there's no error whatsoever. Father, we pray that we praise You that it's a hammer, Lord, a fire to melt hard hearts. And God, we pray that You would come to us, that You would comfort those who need comfort. Lord, that You would humble those who need humbling, that You would convict those who need conviction. Lord, You would save those who need saving, that You encourage those who need encouragement. So Holy Spirit, come, we pray, and apply Your Word to Your people and those who may not be Your people. God, as You please. Please, for the glory of Your name, for Jesus' sake, amen. So last week we thought about God's command to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding is where we're going to focus this week. And we noticed last week that there were three places in this text where God is focusing on the heart. But let your heart keep my commandments. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And so we know God wants the heart. The heart, the inner being, the you that is you, the you that will last forever. The most important part about who you are, the heart, God wants that. Amen. He wants your heart. You see how God chased Howard down and took his heart. It took what Howard desired and changed those desires. What Howard delighted in, what he rejoiced in, what he gave himself to, God changed his heart. That's the business that God is in, changing our whole heart so that we might trust and obey Him. And we spoke last week about how God's plans are good for you, that He's worthy to have the trust of our whole heart because He's good and He does all things well. And I believe, Miss Kathy, I believe this was the song that she directed me to. And we're not going to sing this today, but I did put it in the bulletin. It's called Trust His Heart. And this is where that phrase comes from. If you can't trace out what God is doing with His hand, you can't figure out your circumstances, well, trust His heart. Trust that He has good plans for you. And I just want to read the lyrics of this song. It says, all things work for good, though sometimes we can't see how they could. Struggles that break our hearts in two sometimes blind us to the truth. Our Father knows what's best for us. His ways are not our own. So when your pathway grows dim and you just can't see Him, remember you're never alone. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. He sees the master plan. He is the master. He wrote the plan. He holds the future in His hand. So don't live as those who have no hope. All our hope is found in Him. We see the present clearly, but He sees the first and last. And like a tapestry, He's weaving you and me to someday be just like Him. He alone is faithful and true. He alone knows what is best for you. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. When you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. And so that is a little summary of last week's sermon. when we face things that we don't understand, that don't seem good, that seem hard, painful. You can't fathom how anything good could come from this. Sort of like as they stood at the foot of the cross, right? And there's no good that can come from this. Jesus, the Messiah, the one who is to come and save us, he's being killed. There's no good going to come from this. Anybody have a circumstance in your life like that you're standing before and there's no good? I can't see how this could be good at all, Lord. Well, remember the foot of the cross, right? And there is good that came from that. The greatest evil was taken by the greatest God and made the greatest good. And so that's our God. That is our God who does the impossible, who raises the dead. And so we can trust Him. We can trust Him no matter what. This week, we see a do not in our verse. Verse 5 has a do, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and it has a do not. The opposite of trusting in the Lord with all of your heart is leaning on your own understanding. And God says, don't do that. Don't do that. Do not lean on your own understanding. Basically, do not be self-reliant. Do not be self-reliant. There is a good kind of self-reliance. When a baby learns to walk, we all get excited when the baby takes his first steps. He or she is learning to walk, to be self-reliant on his or her own two feet. That's good. Learning math. Those of you who are in school, learning to do math, do it on your own. That's a good thing. That's not bad. Getting a job to support yourself and your family. That's good. The Bible says, let him who does not work, let him not eat. That's what the Bible says. If you don't work, then you're going to starve. And so getting a job, being self-reliant in that way is good. Taking responsibility for the various responsibilities that God has given you, whether you have a child and as a father, as a mother, as a husband, as a wife, at your job, being to work early, on time, with a smile on your face, being obedient to your boss, that's pleasing to the Lord. Those are good things, taking responsibility. But there's even a good godly way to do those, relying on self things in a God-reliant way. Did you know that? There's a way to learn math in a God-reliant way. There's a way to do your job in a God-reliant way. Some of you may remember the little phrase, APTAT, that I talk about, that I learned from Pastor John Piper. APTAT, APTAT. A way to do things that are your responsibility that you must do. I must preach right now. That's what God has called me to do. But I can do it in a God-reliant way, not a self-reliant way. APTAT, acknowledge, Lord, nothing good will come of today and this sermon unless you come and help. I'm helpless, Lord. Acknowledge that you're helpless. You can do no good apart from Christ. P, pray. God, help me. Lord, help me right now as I preach. Be faithful to your word and say what your people need to hear. Pray. T, trust. Pick a promise. I love Jesus' words in the Great Commission. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He's with me right now. Trust. Act. APTA. Act. You have to act. You have to do what God has called you to do. And T, thank Him. When you're done, thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping me. And so in all things that we're to do, God has called us to take responsibility for, we can do those things in a God-reliant way and not a self-sufficient, self-reliant way. We don't want to be a self-reliant people. We want to be a God-reliant people. A God-reliant people. As 1 Peter 4:11 says, if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. You see, we want to do what we do in such a way that God gets the praise and not me. That God gets the praise for what I do. And so we do it in the strength that He supplies. And so our command here today that we'll focus on is simply do not lean on your own understanding. You see that in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. We also see this in verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. And so we're going to talk about those two phrases from this passage. If you are trusting in the Lord with all of your heart, then you will not lean on your own understanding. The opposite of trusting in the Lord with all of your heart is leaning on your own understanding. And the text says, don't do it. What does it mean to lean on your own understanding? Well, you lean on something to keep you from falling. So right now, all of you are leaning on a chair. If that chair weren't there, you would fall to the ground. You lean on something to keep from falling. If you break your leg, you have crutches, right, that hold you up, that keep you from falling. And some people derisively say, oh, Christianity, religion, it's just a crutch. Well, yes, because if you don't have it, you're going to fall into hell, you see. It's more than a crutch, I've heard one say. It's a whole life support system, friend. If you don't have it, you're going to die and go to hell. And we don't want that for you. We want you to be saved. We want you to be reconciled to God. We want you to have life. So crutches hold you up. A cane will hold you up and keep you from falling. Or a walker. A walker, it keeps you from falling down. As you come down the steps, you might hold on to the railing, the stair rail. That keeps you from falling as you lean on it. Or imagine standing at this amazing scenery at a mountain, at a 1,000-foot mountain, and you're at an overlook, and there's a rail over, and you take the guardrail and you look over. And if that guardrail weren't there, you would fall all the way to the bottom. So we lean on things to keep us from falling, to keep us from stumbling. And this text says, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. What does it mean to lean on your own understanding? You lean on your own understanding when you do what you want to do, when what you want to do contradicts what God wants you to do, namely what He says in His Word. And so we ought to get to a point in our Christian life when we do what we want to do, because our hearts have been so changed by the grace and mercy of God that what we want to do is what God wants us to do. But you lean on your own understanding when what you want to do is not what God wants you to do, when you're disobedient to God's Word, when you're not leaning on His Word for all of your guide in life. That's leaning on your own understanding when you're not leaning on what God says in His Word. Sometimes people use God's name in vain to do what they want to do, even though God has made it clear in His Word that they should not do what they want to do. You ever hear, God told me to do that? That scares me. My next question is, show me where God told you to do that in His Word. Because you may have just ate too much pizza last night and had a little dream that you think's God, and it's not God. So many people think they have these experiences where they hear these things and feel these feelings. They got the wiggles and God shivered and told them to do something. Where has God told you in His Word? His Word, friend. His Word will never fail. His Word is written forever and does not change. We must obey His Word. People say things like, God has called me to leave my husband. No, He didn't. No, He didn't. No, He didn't. Read the book. Read the book. God told me to buy this lottery ticket and I'm going to win. No, He didn't. No, He didn't. Friends, don't waste your money on playing the lottery. That's not pleasing to God when we waste our money like that. God called me to be a pastor. Well, maybe. And there's qualifications for being a pastor in 1 Timothy 3. Do you meet those? It doesn't matter how badly you feel called to preach. Has God called you according to His Word? Do you meet the qualifications of His Word? You see, we go to God's Word to find out if what we want is what God wants. And we need to lean on what God wants according to His Word. You lean on your own understanding when you do what God feels, when what you do feels good instead of what God says ought to feel good. Friends, I want you to feel good. We want you to feel good as Christians. We want you to feel good. But when what feels good to you is not what God says ought to feel good, that's not good for you, even though it feels good. You see, there are lots of things in the world that feel good that lead to death. And we'll see that all throughout the Proverbs. So many things that feel really good to your senses, your eyes, it feels so good and lead to death. Like chocolate-covered cyanide. Tastes really good going down, and then it kills you. You see, we lean on our own understanding when we do what feels good, like the culture tells us to do. Lean on what feels good to you. If it feels good to you and it's not hurting anybody else, well, do it. That's a lie. That's leaning on your own understanding. We need to do what God says feels good. And friend, God has what feels good. Psalm 16:11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forever. Friend, our God has the greatest feel-goodness in the world. And so we come to Him for joy. We come to Him for satisfaction. We come to Him and lean on Him to find out what feels good, and we follow Him. You lean on your own understanding when you listen to your heart instead of God's heart. That popular pop song, Listen to Your Heart. Listen to Your Heart. Friend, the Bible says the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Who can know it? Don't listen to your heart. Listen to God's heart in His Word. And again, we want to breed a people, make a people, disciple a people here so that you can listen to your heart because you have a new heart. You have a Spirit-filled heart, a law written on your heart of God heart, and so that you can listen to your heart because your heart has been so trained by the Word of God and the truth of God that what your heart desires is what God desires. And then, so then when you're listening to your heart, you are actually leaning on God because God has gripped your heart, has taken your heart and owns your heart. You lean on your own understanding when you listen to yourself instead of God. You lean on your own understanding when you listen to yourself instead of God. It would be an interesting experiment if you kept a log for 1 week of how many lies that you tell yourself in a day or a week. I mean, think about it. When you first wake up, the first voice you hear is yourself filling your head with a bunch of lies. Oh, today I'm just so down, depressed. I'm such a failure. I'm such a this. I'm such a that. And you just start telling yourself all these lies. Don't listen to yourself, right? As Dr. Lloyd-Jones said, don't listen to yourself. Preach a sermon to yourself. Don't listen to the lies that your own heart tells yourself that you know aren't according to God's Word, but preach to yourself. Tell yourself who you are in Jesus. I'm a daughter or son of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I am forgiven. I am righteous in Jesus. I have the Spirit of the living God dwelling within me. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am dead to sin and alive unto righteousness. You see, and so when you hear these lies you're telling yourself, preach a sermon to yourself and tell yourself the truth and lean on God's understanding that you're preaching to yourself. The psalmist does it. Psalm 42, why are you so downcast on my soul? And why so disquieted within me? Right? And then he says, hope in God. Hope in God. You see, you preach to yourself like the psalmist and don't lean on your own understanding. You lean on your own understanding when you listen to the advice or counsel of the world, the devil, or unbelievers. So, do you fill your mind with worldly understanding? What's on the TV? What's on the TV all day? Do you fill your mind with soap opera garbage? Do you fill your mind with Oprah garbage? Do you fill your mind with Dr. Phil garbage? Friend, those people are not born again and don't know Jesus, and you're filling your mind with garbage.
Yes, yes, yes.
You're leaning on the understanding of the world, of godless unbelievers, and you don't think that has an effect on you? When you listen to counselors who aren't rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Friends, all counseling is not good. We can learn a lot from psychology and psychologists and how they do things, but friends, if they're not born again and giving you counsel from the Word of the living God, find another counselor. Find another counselor. And all biblical counseling isn't biblical. All biblical counseling is not biblical. All so-called biblical preaching is not biblical preaching. Turn TBN off. Again, I plead with you. Turn TBN off.
Amen.
Oh, go talk to Howard about that. We lean on our own understanding when we listen to these lies that aren't from God's mouth, God's truth. You lean on your own understanding when you fail to humble yourself and seek the godly wisdom and counsel of other godly Christians. God's Word says in Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors there is safety. Friend, if you have a closed life to other people, where you never talk to other people about big decisions that you make in life or how your life's going, how your relationship is going with your husband and wife, but you are a closed book and you don't have other Christians you can go to and say, I'm struggling with this, I need prayer, I need help with this, can you pray for me? I need some advice on this. And I'm talking to you about going to other people who are godly people, lovers of Jesus, lovers of the Word, who are going to give you good counsel. We as Christians, we lean on our own understanding when we don't seek the help, advice, and counsel of other people and think we can do it on our own. So don't lean on your own understanding. Pray if you don't have a godly friend, a godly mentor, a godly peer that you can go to and say, I'm struggling with this. I don't know what to do. Can you help me think through this and pray for me? If you don't have that, pray that God would give you that. Seek it out. Come here enough that you build relationships with people, enough that you can have those kind of wise, godly counselors in your life and not just lean on your own understanding. You lean on your own understanding when you fail to join a church as a member, or you become a member of a church and you fail to attend regularly. You lean on your own understanding when you fail to join a church as a member, or you become a member of a church and you fail to attend regularly. Friend, if you're here this morning and you're not a member of a local church, you should become a member. You should become a member of a local church. You cannot follow and obey Jesus without doing so. You can't. You can't. And if you're a member of a church, you should attend regularly. That's God's command. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. It's a command of God. And we need each other. We need each other. We need one another to grow in Christ, to understand God's Word, to walk with Jesus as we should walk. And we can't be a Lone Ranger Christian leaning on your own understanding. You need God's people. You need Jesus' bride. You need the church. You lean on your own understanding, to sum it all up, whenever you sin. I mean, whenever we sin, we are leaning on self. Leaning on our own understanding, doing what we want instead of leaning on God. And God's Word graciously to me and to you this morning is, don't lean on yourself. Lean on God. Lean on God. And, prayer in the Word. Prayer in the Word. What a way to lean on God and show that you lean on God by being in prayer and the Word of God. Giving yourself to prayer and giving yourself to the Word of God. That's evidence that you leaning on God when you give yourself to prayer. If you're prayerless, Friends, that's evidence that you're not leaning on God. You're leaning on self. When you neglect the study of God's Word, you're leaning on self and not God. So give yourself, Olney Baptist Church, to prayer and the Word. Prayer and the Word. Prayer and the Word. And I'd like to speak just briefly to those of you who may be here that aren't believers in Jesus. The greatest problem of all mankind is that we have disobeyed this command. We have not trusted in the Lord with all of our hearts, and we have leaned on our own understanding. So our first parents, Adam and Eve in the garden, right? We see them lean on their own understanding. God told them, do not eat of this fruit. And when they saw it was pleasing to the eyes and good to taste, they took and they ate. They leaned on their own understanding. They disobeyed God. And now sin enters the world. Death enters the world. Every evil that's in the world enters the world because our first parents leaned on their own understanding and failed to trust the Lord with all of their heart. And because they've sinned, we inherit their sinful nature, we inherit their guilt, and we actually sin like they do. And because of that, friend, we stand condemned. If you're not a Christian, you stand condemned. And God is angry because He's good. As Howard shared that passage, we all once were children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. And so God is angry about sin. He's angry at sinners, but He's loving and merciful. And so He sent Jesus into the world. Jesus came into the world to live a perfectly obedient life, always trusted in the Lord perfectly, never leaned on His own understanding, but trusted His Father and obeyed and died on that cross, rose from the dead, so that if you turn from your sins and believe in Him, you can be saved. Friends, that's the good news of the gospel. We want you to know that. We want you to be saved. We want you to be forgiven. We want you to be born again. We want the same change that has happened in people like Howard to happen to you. And you can know that by faith in the Redeemer's blood. If you'd like to talk about that more, come over to lunch next door afterwards. I would love to speak with you more about that gospel. And finally, this last exhortation here, I want to spend some brief time thinking about this. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. Now, the problem with that command is we often think we're really wise. We know what we're doing. I've been doing this for such and such years. I know this. I know that. I have experience doing this. I know. I know. I know. Oh no, we think we're really wise in our own eyes. We do, because we're proud people. We're proud people. We're arrogant people. That's why we often get mad, because we know best. Why won't they just listen to me? Oh, why won't they just listen to me? I know what I'm doing. That's why we get in arguments. That's why we get upset. We're leaning on our own understanding and we think we're really wise in our own eyes. We know we're right. We have very high opinions of ourselves. We do. And God comes and pats us on the head and says, no, no, young son, young woman, you need not be wise in your own eyes. I mean, it goes back to what Job was told last week. Where were you? Where were you when I made the heavens and the earth? Where were you when I created this dragon with scales and breathing fire? Where were you, Job? No, you don't know, actually. You actually have a lot to learn. Whether you're 2 years old or 92 years old, there's always more to learn. This comes down to humility. Humility. Philippians 2:3-11 says, Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing. And so Jesus is our great example, our great Savior. You have this mind, Christian. You have the mind of Christ. And so act like it. Be like it. Be more considerate of others than yourself. Count others more significant than yourself. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Be a good listener. Are you a good listener? Or do you have to have the last word? Do you talk a lot? Some people talk a lot. And they should be more quiet. And it's an evidence that they're proud. Not necessarily, but it might be. The Bible says, be quick to listen and slow to speak.
Come on now.
You see. And so one great characteristic of humility is when you meet somebody and they just shower you with questions about yourself. They just shower you with, oh, you know, tell me about yourself. How did you become a Christian? What do you do for a living? How are you? You know, they're just so interested in you, you see. Now, that's a sign of humility. That they're so engulfed in you and who you are. Don't be wise in your own eyes. I came across something that Josh Harris, he is a former pastor of Covenant Life Church, he wrote about what it means to be wise in your own eyes. He says, I'm wise in my own eyes when I don't pause to pray for God's guidance on a decision. Again, it goes back to prayer. Are you seeking God's wisdom? Are you praying? I'm wise in my own eyes when I fail to depend on God's word and approach it as a daily lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Again, the word of God in prayer. The word of God in prayer. The word of God in prayer. I'm wise in my own eyes when I am when I assume a decision doesn't need a second opinion and I don't take the time to ask trusted friends for counsel. I'm wise in my own eyes when I'm critical of another person's practice or perspective without taking the time to understand it and ask questions. I am wise in my own eyes when I'm lax in fleeing temptation, assuming that I'm adult enough to handle it. I can handle this. I got this. God says flee. God says, flee. I'm wise in my own eyes when I do something right and fail to acknowledge before God that it is only His grace that allowed me to do it right. Aptat, the last T is thank Him. Thank Him. I'm wise in my own eyes when I pat myself on the back about knowledge I have that I learned from someone else. I'm wise in my own eyes when I don't draw out or seek to understand a person who is bringing criticism. I'm wise in my own eyes when I assume that the truth of a sermon is for someone else and not my own life. Amen. So you're one of those folks who listen to the sermon. I'm glad they're here today. They need this. I'm glad my husband's here because he needs that. Oh boy, I hope he's listening. You see, that's evidence of it may be true. It may be true, but what's in it for you? I mean, what do you need to hear? I mean, I prepare these sermons and often get convicted myself, even as I preach them. Joseph, you better not be wise in your own eyes. And I want to do that more. We can all grow in that. I'm wise in my own eyes when I neglect to consistently plead to God for His wisdom. Oh, may we be pleaders to God. Lord, I need wisdom. Please, as we go through the book of Proverbs, may we become more of a praying people, pleading with God to give us the wisdom we need. Wisdom to be a father. Wisdom to be a mother. Wisdom to be a parent. Wisdom to be a pastor. Wisdom to be a worker in wherever you work. Wisdom to be a student. Wisdom to be a child, a son or daughter. Plead with God to give you wisdom. And who is our champion? Who is our champion of wisdom? Our champion of an example of not leaning on his own understanding? Well, Jesus is. Jesus, I love dominant champions. Dominant champions like Jesus. And also he's the underdog of underdogs who died on the cross and rose from the dead. But Jesus, when he came and lived on this earth, he did not lean on his own understanding. Because he was fully God and fully human. And we have false teachers that will go to passages like I'm going to share to you and say, oh, see, he's not God. He's not God because he's leaning on his Father. Oh, he's not divine. No, 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 no. He's fully God and fully man. He's the God-man. And we see Him in His humanity showing us what it means to be a perfectly sinless human being who does not lean on his own understanding but leans on God perfectly. And that's what Jesus did. And you see this in John 5:30. Jesus said, "I can do nothing on my own." And see, my Muslim friends will come to me and say, "See, Jesus is not God." Don't shy away from these verses. We rejoice in these verses. Yes, Jesus can do nothing of His own. He's a perfect man. And He leaned on His Father. He says, "As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." He's totally dependent on the Father as a perfect human being should be. John 8:28 through 29. "So Jesus said to them, 'When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him.'" And so Jesus came, lived a perfect, obedient life as a human being, fully dependent on the Lord, trusting in the Lord with all his heart, and not leaning on his own understanding, died on that cross for sinners, rose triumphant, which we celebrate today and will in this supper, so that as you hear those questions read and you think maybe, "Wow, I have leaned a lot on my own understanding. Wow, I have not trusted in the Lord with all of my heart." Well, friends, that's sin and that's bad news, but the good news is Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. And so come to Him for forgiveness. Come to Him for grace. Come to Him for salvation. And He will save you. He will forgive you. He will make you His son, His daughter. He will make His home with you, just as He's done in Howard's life, and begin to teach you and train you to more and more trust in Him and lean not on your own understanding. On Christ alone you should lean. In Him is wisdom seen. For He died to make you clean and grant you peace serene. Don't be wise in your own eyes, because often you tell yourself lies of every imaginable size, which leads you to compromise the perfect wisdom God supplies. He doesn't want your demise, so He sent His Son to die and rise, to save you from sin's compromise and grant you highs beyond sin's lies, for He is your everlasting prize. Don't lean on what you understand. Your godless thoughts are sinking sand. Everyone so canned and bland compared to mighty God so grand. Just lean on His everlasting hand. His Son met every demand. He died and rose just as He planned, so you might obey His every command. And all the wicked sin withstand, then He will be your joy expand. You'll finally see His face firsthand. Jesus on His Father leaned, and to His side by prayer He cleaved, great joy, wisdom, power received, to do His perfect will achieved, died and left all sad, bereaved, but rose, all fears and tears relieved, lost sinners reconciled, retrieved, salvation for all who've believed, to give a joy beyond conceived. Friend, that's our God whom we can lean on and trust in with all of our hearts. So let's go and pray that He would help us do that now. Father, we thank You that You have not left us in the dark as to how we should live and what we should do. Father, we thank You that You are worthy to lean upon. Lord, we pray that as we meditate upon these verses, that You would convict us where we need conviction, where we are leaning on our own understanding. Lord, we pray that You would help us cease to do this and lean on You. Where, Lord, we think we're wise in our own eyes, we pray that You would lift our eyes to the wisdom of Your Son, the wisdom in Your Word, and God, that we would grow in the grace and wisdom and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And so, God, do that, Father. Lord, we realize, and we should realize, that when You take away these crutches that we lean on that are not You, it may be very, very, very painful. And yet, Lord, we want to invite that kind of pain. We want to be free of the worldly things we're leaning on. and learn to lean on you alone. So God, help us do that. Help us desire that and shepherd us through that for Jesus' sake. Amen.